Reading from the Narada Sutras, text 50. Text 51. Anirvachaniyam prema swarupam, the true nature of pure love of Godhead is beyond description, purport. Although Narada has been expertly analyzing bhakti from the beginning stages up to parabhakti, he now says that it is inexpressible. Bhakti is particularly inexplicable to unqualified persons. Until a person practices devotion with faith, how can he know of it just by inquiring from a sage? Sometimes when devotees would ask Srila Prabhupada questions on subjects that were beyond their ability to understand, he would give the analogy of a small boy trying to understand sexual pleasure. Because the child is physically immature, he cannot know what sex is. But once he reaches puberty, he automatically understands. He first began typing Prabhupada's manuscript of teachings of Lord Chaitanya. I was curious about some esoteric aspects of parabhakti. Lord Chaitanya described that when a devotee reaches perfection, he chooses to follow a particular eternal resident of Vrindavan and learn of his own rasa from that resident. In March of 1967, I wrote to Prabhupada asking more about this subject. He replied as follows. When we're in the perfect stage of devotional service, we can know our eternal relationship with Krishna. And as such, one of the associates of Lord Krishna becomes our ideal leader. This acceptance of leadership by one of the eternal associates of Lord Krishna is not artificial. Therefore, do not try it at present. It will be automatically revealed to you at the proper time. It is not only immature young bhaktas who are barred from understanding parabhakti. This advanced stage of devotion is even beyond the ability of erudite scholars to fathom. Krishnadas Kaviraj writes, the pastimes of Lord Krishna are uncommonly full of transcendental potency. It is characteristic of such pastimes that they do not fall within the jurisdiction of experimental logic and arguments. Chaitanya Charitamya, Antilila 19.103. Rupa Goswami echoes this statement. The activities and symptoms of that exalted personality in whose heart love of Godhead is awakened cannot be understood even by the most learned scholar. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.4.17. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksur Mulatam Yena Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishkam Napitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Amayam Dati Sa Padantikam. One second. Pancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayebhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So greetings from New Jersey. I returned late last night and I'm doing pretty well. I haven't slept during the day and I feel pretty good for the question. I should be able to say something. I'm in separation from Vrindavan, but separation is such a sweet form of love. Because our pleasure is the remembrance of Krishna with affection. And our happiness is most intense when we have those feelings, whether we are with Krishna or separated from Krishna, whether we're in Vrindavan or separated from Vrindavan. Although the separation is a kind of natural pain, but mixed in with that pain is a sweetness of remembrance, which is sometimes more intense in separation. My stay in Vrindavan was just wonderful because of the level of association that's there. So we're now studying the Narada Bhakti Sutras. I hope now, it was really tough the last month to keep the classes as steady as I like. I see no reason why we can't keep them steady and get that same level of momentum. So we've had very, very nice descriptions of bhakti. And how to attain it. But here now, he's saying it's beyond description. The sarup, the real essence of that love, is beyond description. Of course, we just finished a section on how to attain bhakti. And it really came down, if you analyze all the verses that we studied over the last month or something, it really boiled down to putting yourself in a position to attract mercy. Like a farmer, a good farmer is usually successful. He works hard, but he realizes that his crop is dependent on the rain. The rain generally comes. How much it comes and when it comes and if it comes, that's up to God. But still, his preparation prepares himself for that mercy. And God is merciful. So his mercy is, even though it's not in our hands, it's readily available. Of course, just the cultivated land does not itself attract the rain, but our cultivated heart can attract the mercy of God. As Prabhupada so aptly said, Krishna is responsive. So, as a merciful divine absolute,
why will he not be attracted to the heart who, first of all, realizes the need for the shelter of God? It begins there. Just like finding Guru, I was writing about this today. The initiation process begins in our own heart when we legitimately surrender, when we feel that need. Then there's a transcendental system that connects us with the vehicle in which that mercy may be most accessible to us. So primarily it's mercy, but we have to surrender and have faith and beg for that mercy. And that creates a condition in the heart where we are able to attract mercy and to experience it if it indeed comes. And in that mood of entreaty and humility and surrender and dependence and begging, which comes from that desire to attain the absolute reality, it begins with that faith, that trust in the sublimity of devotional service, the sublimity of bhakti, where we actually value that. We open our hearts towards that and thus attract that. But first, we must strive for this. In the last previous verse, we should strive for this. Strive for this. Because this is the thing which the most value. And that's the first thing we have to understand in devotional service. And usually, we don't value that above anything else. We value our ego and the praise and love and position and enjoyment that we have, even in the name of devotional service and bhakti. Therefore, bhakti is sincerity. It's when you follow Krishna's desire because you want Krishna pleased. Not that you want anything else from that, like becoming a great devotee or becoming liberated. Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Bhaja, Nishakamaye. You don't want anything else. You want Krishna and you love Krishna and you want to please Krishna. And that's what becomes important in your life. And therefore we strive for that. Now here it describes that this essence that this essence is beyond. What happened to that? One second. I just got a fire. find some of my notes. One second, I got to put the phone down. This essence of Prema Bhakti, the Prema Sarup, the essence of that topmost love, is beyond description. Because things which you have not experienced, you don't have a frame of reference to fully understand. And language generally deals with concepts within our frame of reference. That's how language is formed. So it's beyond description. And the example Prabhupada gave in the purport, I thought was pretty apropos. It was pretty apropos. You're trying to explain sex pleasure to a child, or try to explain what pregnancy is like. A woman explained pregnancy to a man. Externally, it can be described, but the man has no experience for it. So the sarup of pregnancy is not accessible in that sense. Or in the next verse, it's going to describe as a mute cannot describe flavors. The mute can taste them, but his capacity is limited to express them. So it doesn't mean it can't be understood, but it's understood by those who can experience it. The expression of it fully is limited. And therefore, one is very careful in the expression of those sentiments to those who have a limited frame of reference to understand it, because they will misunderstand it. And what will happen is they'll try to understand those sentiments through the language of those sentiments will correspond with the experience they have of those sentiments, which have nothing to do with that experience. You explain the amorous or conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna to someone who doesn't have an experience of devotion. There's no way to explain it to them. And if you explain it to them in one sense, or you explain it and describe it to them, it will only register in their mind as either mundane or mythological. So And when it says it's beyond description, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have form, it doesn't have colors, doesn't have activities. But because the form and color and activities of those activities are not the form and color of the activities in this world, that when they're described to someone who hasn't experienced something, his frame of reference to understand it will be very, very limited. It's just like explaining Krishna's pastimes. You know, when you're in Vrindavan, the experience of the Dham can be so immediately powerful for one. Give one such a bhava or such a level of devotion immediately that when you hear the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, I'm experiencing this when we go on Parikram. And you hear the experience of Radha and Krishna. You see it through that mood. And it makes sense to you. It's a bhava of selflessness. I remember that story I often tell of one of the great scholars in Vrindavan, an incredibly learned person. And some Westerners asked him about Manjari Bhav, the moods of the pre-pubescent young gopis. And he said, what do you think about it? He said, if you like young women. And the answer was, you know, but basically he was saying is that's what you'll think they are. He said, but no, it's a bhav. It's a bhav of selfless service. And when you have that mood of selfless service, then you'll tend to see that form as selfless service rather than as young girls and mundane activities. And I appreciate in that sense Prabhupada's presentation of Krishna consciousness so much because he realizes that the mood of devotion is more important than the visual form of it. Because the visual form has to be based on that mood. People who meditate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and have advanced visual, it's called swadhisiki. I don't know why that word passes my mind. They see it like a movie. The pastimes of Krishna becomes a movie. And they're seeing it. But what they're seeing is intense love. And because they're experiencing that in their own hearts, they're actually seeing actually there. Not just the projection of their own experience of it. So really, mature devotion, the sentiments are more important. Therefore, when Prabhupada stressed things like humility, not Prabhupada, the acharyas, humility, gratitude, compassion, selfless service, fixedness in the guru, they are building the substance of which the form of the highest description of prema can be born, can be understood. like we read about Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies. What is our frame of reference for that trembling? What is our frame of reference for that Ganga flow of tears from the eyes? What is our frame of reference for hairs standing on end? Our reference is an emotional experience, mundane, just like when Lord Chaitanya was chanting and crying and laughing and rolling on the floor. When Prakasananda Saraswati, who was a Mayavadi, saw it, what did he think? This is dangerous. This is sentimental. This doesn't have to... Because Mayavadis, they try to deny sentiments and feelings. They have no experience of transcendental feelings. So when they see that, the only experience they have, that's something mundane. That's the uncontrolled mind, which I've given up. They don't have the frame of reference to understand those type of things. And compare that when he came to his guru, who was a Bhava Bhakti, a Prema Bhakti, Ishvara Puri, he said, no, this is the goal of life. Two people viewing this as spiritually advanced, but two people viewing the same experience come up with different things. So what is the language that one can use to describe these experiences? You can only give a form of it that corresponds to an experience that you have. And therefore, to help us understand the absolute truth, Prabhupada stressed core spiritual feelings and discouraged us from maturely meditating on things before a maturity and development of our spiritual expression. I do know deep sadhakas among my god brothers and god sisters and devotees, and it's revelatory. They're chanting Hare Krishna. They're hearing, and hearing the name. They're not just trying to manufacture some visual form. Although from reading the CC and reading other spiritual books, they have a sufficient frame of reference to understand what's going on. They know what the, you know, when Radharani looks at Krishna, in certain pastimes, she has Kila Kinchit Abhav. She has seven contradictory emotions. If she's jubilant, and she's jealous, and she's angry, and she's frightened. There's so many. So they know. They know what the Ujjvala Nirvamaya is. They know what these things are. And they have a frame of reference to meditate on in Radharani's eyes. Her eyes itself express seven different types of emotions at once in relationship to Krishna, which manifest in the subtleties of her eye movements, the colors of her eyes. The pinkness of her eyes represents both the anger she feels, which is like red, and the fright she fears, which is like white, which mixes together in a pinkish color. And they're able to meditate on that. And they're able to think of that. But it's permeated and imbued with the most intense desire to serve. Just like Prabhupada gave the example of a lot of Mayavadi impersonal conception, or to say Mayavadi conception, is there's no experience. How do you understand something? You can understand it only in terms of what it's not. Just like a person who lives on an island where there's no sweets. Prabhupada gave the example. He goes off the island. He tastes some sweet. It's beautiful, a rasgulla. He goes back to the island, tries to communicate what he's experienced, but what can he say? They don't have a frame of reference for sweets. So only he can say that it is a taste. And it's a taste that's not hot, it's not pungent, it's not salty, it's not sour, it's not bitter. That's all he can say. And that it's a taste. But the sarup of that taste. So we can understand what prema is, love, but to understand the actual sarup, very, very hard to describe. It doesn't mean it can't be understood. It can be experienced. And those who experience it have the realization to express it in the most understandable way to those who don't have that experience. That's why it's even described, Ananta glorify, Ananta Seishul, that kids officially glorify Krishna, the birds who are flying in the sky. I mean, there's no limit to the sky. There's no limit to Krishna's qualities. So, it's revealed. It's just like the Bhagavatam. It's Krishna. To really relish the Bhagavatam, you have to experience it. Not just intellectualize it. Although Prabhupada said it's not an electric shock, the guru touches you on the head and there's some electricity. He said, but although it's not an electric shock, it's not exactly an intellectual process either, but by the application of the intellect, by trying to understand it, which gives you a frame of reference to look in the proper direction to experience it. Just like, you know, you want to point to somewhere the moon is, well, it's between two branches of a tree. So where's the moon? It's between the tree. There's a frame of reference, there's a direction. But ultimately, the Bhagavatam service, there's a revelation in heart, and one understands. And therefore, in communication, we're so careful to see what people's frame of reference is. And their frame of reference, they have a certain level of capacity to understand. And what the teacher does is he builds up that frame of reference and capacity to understand. And Lord Chaitanya, when he was hearing the descriptions in Ramananda Samvad, I've never heard this before. Never heard this before. It's so deep. It's so sweet. It's so wonderful. So he just was describing bhakti, but he's letting us know now that to really understand the essence of it, you have to practice. You have to experience it. Okay, are there any questions? Would someone like to say hello? Just so I know that people were listening.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hey, Gail. Hare Krishna. I'm in the sacred land of New Jersey now.
Where are you, actually?
I'm visiting my mother.
Oh, that's nice. April 7th can't come fast enough.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to, yeah.
You know, one thing I would say about your talk today is that, I don't know, I guess I have to express the fact that it's, I guess I was feeling a little bit discouraged because it's, you know, being so far away from from being in a position to experience such a thing, you know, that I almost felt like, boy, what's the use of even talking about something that, you know, is so far, so, you know, just to get to the position where you can prepare to be in the position kind of thing.
Well, no, because it's like that. Unless you have that understanding, you don't have an understanding. Unless you understand it's so far from yourself, it's so valuable, it's so exalted, you don't have an understanding of it. As once
well,
as
how
you
do we
think,
get things coverage?
Listen, as soon as you think this is within my grasp, you have very little understanding of it. Because it's so high. And therefore, we have some understanding of it. We have some frame of reference. We have some experience. We can taste a drop of it. But to say that we understand the ocean, when the ocean is unlimited and ever expanding, Krishna can't even understand Radharani's glories. Radharani can't even understand Krishna's glories.
Oh, that's encouraging.
But, what?
I said that's encouraging, I guess.
But one can understand it. That's what they're saying. In humility and in entreaty, there can be some understanding of it. There can be a drop of it. And that's beyond a conception. That's wonderful. And there can be a revelation of some spiritual experience. You got to try harder, Gail. That's all I could say.
I don't know that I can, actually.
What? Well, we'll
I'm
talk about that.
Pretty hard for me, huh?
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, Gail. Thank you. We should we should catch up and touch base again and discuss things.
Yeah.
Can anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Rajaraja.
Thank you. I hope there's a few more people on than just my New Jersey fans. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello today? Okay. Hey, Rod. Hey. Why don't you call Patrivia Sucker? Mr. Navy.